Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Hello, folks, and welcome to this week's installment of Pick and Pod, the exclusive WFUV Sports podcast for the NBA. I'm your A-host, Bradley Byrne, and I'm joined by Trey Rodriguez and Thomas Tisdale. The first episode of 2025, so wishing everyone out there a happy and healthy new year, and make sure to stick to your resolutions. And I'm sure I speak for all three of us, but I don't think there's really a better way to open the new year than talk about basketball. So that being said, how are we doing, guys?
Oh, I'm doing well. I had a good New Year's Eve, had a good New Year's. Breaks are going really good so far. I'm going on vacation tomorrow. Gonna be in a better mood right now, but super excited to be on a basketball podcast. Been waiting since I joined the station to get on this, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, also just I've had a great break so far. Just relaxing from the schoolwork, but also just like watching so many sports. Like, I mean, you got college football, you've got the NFL, and then of course the NBA, which is like the NBA over this these past couple of weeks has been fantastic, and I'm really glad that I've been able to watch that. But other than that, I mean, it's been a pretty chill break so far, and you know, I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, just glad to just be away from school and be back home for the first time in a while. So, but let's start on a high note with this podcast. Let's talk about the Knicks. They are currently third in the East and are on an 8-game win streak after finishing their mini road trip with a win at Washington, and hopefully they could open 2025 with a win tonight at home against Utah. And then they head to a 2-game road trip on Friday at OKC and then in Chicago. And with the Knicks, although the defense really hasn't looked the same since last year, I don't think this offense really could have been any better than I would have imagined. They're second in offensive rating, third in field goal percentage, second in three-point percentage, and third in free throw percentage. And although the thing that scares me as a Knicks fan is that they kind of failed to blow out teams that they should have blown out. Like, they lost in the NBA Cup to Charlotte, or they beat Charlotte by 1 point in the Cup. They barely beat the Raptors, and they went to overtime against the Wizards and almost choked the lead. But with the Knicks, it's kind of just the defense is still kind of taking time to click. But I still think this team kind of has a bright future ahead. And, Trey, I'll pass it to you first. What do you see this team's ceiling being this year? And because they went all in by trading for Mikal Bridges, trading for Karl-Anthony Towns, do you think this year it's either championship or failure? What do you think? And then, Thomas, you can respond.
I think the ceiling for them is the conference finals this year. And I don't think it's because of the lack of talent on their team. I just think it's because the other team is in their conferences, in the conference. I think that the Celtics and the Cavs are – both better. They're both better than the Knicks, I think, and by a good amount. And I think that'll be a real challenge for the Knicks when it comes to the playoffs. I think if they're able to avoid the Cavs or the Celtics in the second round, they could definitely make it to the conference finals. But I guess I cannot imagine them beating either the Cavs or the Celtics. I think they're very good. I mean, I went to a game on the 23rd. They're going against my Raptors, and they absolutely killed them. And their starting lineup's fantastic. And there's just so much stuff going on that everyone looks like so in sync now. I know at the beginning of the season it was a bit rough for them, but now they're almost on a 10-game win streak. They should be. They're going to beat the Jazz tonight. So yeah. It's looking really impressive for them. And I don't think it's a championship or bust year for them. I think next year is going to be the year, I think. But I totally can see a conference finals out of them this year. Totally.
I think personally the ceiling is a championship, but I don't view the season as a championship or bust. I think considering all the new pieces they've added, that, and I've loved how well they've gelled on offense, but the defense has been lacking, and that's sort of what was sort of what New York was known for these past couple of years, especially that playoff run last year, is that they had strong physical defense, and then they just sort of overwhelm you with hustle. And I think the main concern for this team is just the lack of depth and just how much Thibodeau relies on the starting five. And I think that could it could they could lean into that in the playoff run, just playing the starting five 40 minutes a game. And I think they could overwhelm teams. I think they could beat the Celtics and the Cavs, just because I think the Celtics have sort of taken a step down this year, and the Cavs are just I think they're a beatable team. But the Knicks, I think the concern is are injuries. And I think if Cat goes down, if Brunson goes down for an extended period of time, I think New York sort of starts to slip down standings, and then they maybe end up in the 4 or 5 seed. And at that point, I think you have to be a little more realistic about what the expectations are. And I think the expectations then go from an NBA championship to trying to make it to the second round.
Yeah, because the injuries and playing time with Thibodeau, they perfectly go hand in hand because Hart plays 48 minutes, 3 straight games, and then Dante has 4 games out of those 6 games in the Philly series with 40 plus minutes. And then Hart has that abdominal injury going to game 5 of the Pacers series. And then also, Cat has an injury history. He missed a significant amount of the past few seasons. And then come playoff time, he's really nowhere to be found. I didn't even really hear about him in the Dallas series because Minnesota just got the floor wiped with them. But I just feel like if the Knicks can stay fully healthy and Thibodeau can actually use his bench, because if Thibodeau is playing all of those guys 40 plus minutes every single game, it's going to add up. Like Hart with the injury, Bojan Bogdanovic went down, Mitchell Robinson went down, OG Anunoby went down, Brunson broke his hand in game 7, Dante was playing through an injury, Hartenstein was playing through, I think, an injury. So the Knicks just got unlucky last year with so many injuries. But if the Knicks had a bench, which hopefully they will sign people this offseason, maybe get some more key players to use on the bench instead of forcing starters, because it was the same thing with Derrick Rose. Like, people blamed Tom Thibodeau because Derrick Rose injured himself and then was really never the same. So it's always been a knock on Tibbs that he's running the starters into the ground. But I agree with what you said, Thomas. If he can just get some bench help and not pushing these starters all these minutes, because it will add up, they can definitely be a threat.
Yeah, sort of just like you were talking about how the Knicks haven't blown out teams like the Wizards in the way that they should. And I think that's going to have an impact on the minutes you're talking about and how the starting five is going to play 40 plus minutes. I think if they get a favorable first round matchup, they're going to have to beat them up in the first 3 quarters and then be able to sit the starters. I think that's going to be key if they want to make a deep playoff run, because Thibodeau, I think he's just going to resort back to the starting five. He's going to rely on the starting five, and that's the strength of this team. So I don't blame him, but I think you have to be smart, and you have to be cognizant of these players can't play 48 minutes a game every game and be successful. And I think that's the thing that's going to hold this New York team back.
Right, I think it's written. It's really only at the same time though for Tibbs. It's really only it's kind of fair to say why he's giving the starter so many minutes. Because honestly, as you were saying, Bradley, there really isn't a bench to this team, and I really think the two great bench players on his team is Campaign and Deuce. And besides them, really, I don't really see any. There's really no other great bench pieces on this team. And am I trusting to put Precious Achiuwa in the game for 16 minutes in the playoffs? No, I'm not. He's just going to turn the ball over all the time. So there's a reason why Tibbs does this. But at the same time, it's not, this season, even at the trade deadline, you guys can't really go out there and get pieces because he gets the Knicks trade away all their picks. So this is probably more of a scene in the offseason to address, but we could definitely see what they can do this season. I mean, what they can do in the playoffs this season. But I think it's gonna be a very, I think it's gonna be a very important season to see what they can do. If they can definitely still make noise just with the starting lineup they have, because the starting lineup's phenomenal. It's just all around. There's no weakness in it. So I'm excited to see what they do. I know it's still a long way to the playoffs to go, and but they're doing very well right now.
And you talk about like the Knicks. One problem that I have with Cat, he gets into foul trouble so early. Like he'll have 3 fouls in the first quarter, and then he'll come out, and then Tibbs will put him in for the last 30 seconds of a game, or not game, of the first half, and then he won't come back until the fourth quarter. If Cat gets into foul trouble in the playoffs, the Knicks won't win a series. They need Cat. If Cat picks up 3 fouls in the first quarter, the Knicks aren't winning a game. Because although they did it against the Wizards, they still won that game. But if you are playing a team like the Cavs or the Bucks or even the Magic, and Cat is sitting on the bench for extended periods of time, and you're relying on Precious Achiuwa and the 2.5 minutes Tibbs will give to Jericho Sims if he's still there, the Knicks will not win a series if Cat has too many games where he's getting into foul trouble. And Tibbs actually talks about this in multiple press conferences, where Cat does that hooking that Kevin Durant did and James Harden, where he hooks the arm under the defender and he draws a foul on himself. And the coaching staff has said in multiple interviews that they're trying to work on Cat not getting these stupid fouls, because they need him. Besides Brunson, he's that number two option. So if Brunson needs to carry a team again, like he kind of did last year, I don't really see the Knicks getting that far. And before we transition to the worst team in New York, I just want to give you guys a quick little nugget that I found. The Knicks are the only team in NBA history to have four players drop 40 points before January 1st in NBA history. No other team has done that. It was Jalen
Really?
Brunson, Cat, OG, and Mikal all dropped 40 this season already. No other team's done that. So I just want to put that out there before we transition
Well,
to the disappointment that is in Brooklyn.
that's really interesting, actually, that stat. I can't believe that.
But speaking of, I guess, Brooklyn, let's transition into the blockbuster trade where former All-Star, which still doesn't really sit right with me to say, former All-Star D'Angelo Russell is headed back to Brooklyn. Maybe the villain arc will come back. We don't know. But the Lakers are going to be receiving Dorian Finney-Smith and Shake Milton from the Nets in exchange for D'Angelo Russell, Maxwell Lewis, and 3 second-round picks. And when I first saw this trade breaking, I was like, either we're going to get another D'Lo All-Star caliber campaign, or he's just going to be his same inconsistent, inefficient self. But now that the Nets made this trade, they now have 31 draft picks after this trade. And Thomas, I'll pass this one to you first, and then Trey, you can respond. Do you think they should keep all these picks and just draft players as time goes on? Maybe trade a few of them, get some solid role players? Or do you think maybe the surprising route, package some for an all-star maybe? What do you think?
Realistically, you can't have 31 players on your roster, obviously. So there's literally 0 point in having 31 draft picks other than to package them and trade for someone. I think right now, I think they should stand pat and not really trade for anyone this season. I think they're still in the running for Cooper Flagg, and I think they just need to continue to quote unquote tank for him. So I think next year, I think you could see a deal where they package four of those first round draft picks and try to get an all-star. I think that's what they're trying to do with D'Angelo Russell. It's just they're going to trade him, try to get more draft picks. They might be able to trade D'Lo and get someone all-star caliber level if they add a couple picks. The trade market isn't really buzzing right now. Granted, it's early into the trade season, but I just don't see anyone that Brooklyn would immediately become a contender with or a playoff with. I just don't think there's anyone out there that a team's willing to part with that Brooklyn would suddenly elevate to the next level with. So I don't think they should do anything right now, but hopefully in the near future they go and they swing big for the fences. But still retain some of the draft picks because I think we saw that when they traded for or when they had the big three of Durant, Kyrie, and Harden, is that when they didn't have their draft picks, they sort of lacked some young talent that they could develop on, and they're sort of hurting for that now. But yeah, I'm excited for the future in Brooklyn just because of how many draft picks they have. So a lot of young talent, but I hope they use the draft picks on someone a little more proven.
Oh yeah, I think I really kind of said almost everything I was gonna say, but I feel like they should really take this from like an OKC route, because OKC is in a very similar situation, except they're a whole lot better, but still a ton of draft picks, and they've been like that for a few years now. And I definitely think right now Brooklyn should hold back on trading any of these picks. I say probably wait about 2 years or so, because I still can't really imagine them next year being anything good either. Especially because their best player is like Cam Thomas. So, oh yeah, I don't even know how D'Lo is going to work with Cam Thomas over there in the first place, but we'll see. But I really think that with 31 draft picks, right now you hold on to them, you draft a few players. I'm pretty sure they have like four draft picks in the first round next year or something like that. That could be OKC. I'm not too sure, but they have a very, very bright future ahead of them. But in about 2 years, I was to say that's when you start trading these picks. Because draft capital is very powerful, and on a team on teams, a lot of teams around the NBA where there's a lot of all-stars around on a lot of bad teams. So those all-stars are going to want to get off those teams, and that's where you trade those draft picks to those teams. And that is exactly what the Nets are going to need to do in a few years. Now, they should not go the route that they did and a few years ago and pick up three superstars of the league and have absolutely no other pieces to the team, but they need to be smart with this. They need to do what OKC is doing. Nets are not the greatest team at drafting players. They need to their manager really needs to Their general manager really needs to step up and use these draft picks wisely. You have 31 of them. You trade them, use them in the draft, but you need to do this right here, because Nets really haven't been good for a while now, and they really need this. They're in a great opportunity to succeed. General manager's done a great job at getting picks for his team, but now you need to actually execute with them. And I think it's this next few years for the Nets gonna be very important. Hopefully they get a good draft pick this year. And then they can build off that. But yeah, you had a lot of picks in this upcoming draft. Use them right, see how your team goes, and maybe even next season you can trade some of those picks if your team's really that good enough. But I think it's a very interesting future for the Nets. I think it was a good trade for them. I don't really see what the Lakers are doing. I don't really know how Dorian Finney-Smith is going to be your piece for your championship team. But yeah, the Nets are looking pretty good, and I thought it was a really good trade. But they really need to use these picks right.
Yeah, and you talk about OKC. I feel like OKC needs to trade their picks because they're so young. They don't need any more 20-year-olds on their team when I'm pretty sure they have the lowest age average for a team in the NBA. And then you just have all these other picks. Like, I feel like OKC needs to trade them, but at least with the Nets, they can wait to see how the lotteries over the next few years fall if it's not in their favor. Package, I think they have three or four picks. I believe you were right, Trey. Trade that up for first overall and get Cooper Flagg. The Nets, I agree with you guys, they should not trade the picks right now. If necessary, go maybe the Carolina Panthers route where they traded three first round picks for their guy. The Nets can maybe take that same approach. Hopefully, it works for them. Hopefully, Cooper Flagg has nothing but success in the NBA. But the Nets have a history of trading for three superstars and it completely crashing, like with Kevin Durant, Harden and Kyrie, and then trading two picks away for KG and Paul Pierce, which led to the Celtics getting their two best players in Tatum and Brown. So the Nets have a lot of power over the next few years with all these picks, because if the lotteries fall in their favor, they can have a lot of lottery picks because they're not a playoff team by any stretch of the imagination. So they can package picks, trade up for one or two. And they can just keep doing that for over the next couple of years. But I think the Nets have a pretty bright future ahead of them, but they're nowhere near successful now or really anyway. But yeah, that's really what I think about the Nets. I guess they're kind of just going the draft route, not really like, I don't think they should trade for a superstar because it will mess them up. It will mess up their future. So keep the draft picks and then trade them if necessary later on.
Yeah, I think the key is just not getting greedy, like at all. I think that's what they did 4 years ago, whenever when they traded for the big three, is that they wanted a championship now, and so they sort of sacrificed their future for that. And I can't do that again. It's going to be a slow rebuild. I think Brooklyn fans know that they are a ways away from a championship and contending for a championship. So I think everyone is content with just sort of slowly rebuilding, because you can't, I don't see a way Brooklyn can accelerate this rebuild. I think it's going to take a long time. And I think that's fine. I think everyone just needs to have the patience and the sort of just have the patience to sort of develop the players that they draft and be smart and cognizant of what players you want to target in the on the trade market.
Yeah, and then you talked about all these picks. There was a report that they won't trade Cameron Johnson unless they get multiple first-round picks. So then if they get two or three picks for Cam Johnson, they're going to have 33, 34 picks, and then they'll have even more first-round picks over however many years. And I guess the Nets, they're trying to do the OKC route, but they have way too many picks, and they're not there yet.
And, you know, but the thing, too, it's like just going off what Thomas said, he's – Not to get too greedy right now. Cam Johnson is not worth any more than one first round pick.
Exactly.
Like, you can't be asking for all of that. He is not worth that. He's a 19 points per game shooter on a really bad team. And those numbers will drop down once he gets traded. They need to be a bit more reasonable, you know? They don't need all those picks. Maybe get one first round pick and a decent player alongside him, you know?
Yeah, but let's enough with the sadness that is in Brooklyn. Let's kind of shift from a New York state of mind to a more league-wide perspective. And we talk about the NBA, and they have a huge viewership problem. And although NBA Christmas was its highest it's ever been since, I believe, 2016 or 17, it has dropped significantly, with it being down 48%. And I've seen all over social media that there's a whole bunch of like different problems with the NBA, whether it's three-point shooting or the refs constantly ejecting people or giving technical fouls for stupid things. But Trey, I'll pass this to you first, and then Thomas, you can respond. Is there one main reason that stands out to you from the rest, or do you think there's a bunch of reasons that have collective like impact on NBA viewership in the NBA?
Talk about this with my friends all the time, and it's been a big topic of conversation. And I think this is a big collective reason for why this has been going on, but I think there's probably two reasons that are most important for me. And I think first of all, I think the NBA's like unwillingness to move on from Bron, KD, and Steph and make actually new superstars of the brand. Cause you still see on all these commercials that they have, all this marketing that they do, they still put out there a 40-year-old LeBron, a Kevin Durant, and a Steph. And they're all great. They're all great players. But do you need to move on from these guys now? You know, it's like you have Jokic, who I feel like they barely even mention his name. He's the best player in the world by far. He's been the best player in the world for 5 years. I understand the guy's not that marketable, but you still got to put him out there. And you got other players such as Luka Doncic. Now you're starting to get some of the really young guys too. They love to talk about Victor Wembanyama, which is great. That's a good step in the right direction that they're making. But Anthony Edwards, I feel like they don't really mention him that much either. And really, Victor Wembanyama and Anthony Edwards are your future faces of the league, and you got to market them as such. And they just don't. And this is getting to my other point now, especially with Anthony Edwards, is that Adam Silver just loves his big market teams, and he refuses to talk about any of the small market teams. He got Minnesota. I actually checked this yesterday. Minnesota is like, I think 28th or 27th in market size. And that's the reason why Minnesota's not talked about that much, because Adam Silver loves his big teams. Even when the Knicks or the Lakers, let's say the Knicks go 10-72 in the season or something, they will still be one of the most talked about teams in the NBA over an amazing Timberwolves team, because they're the Knicks. They make one of the most amount of money in the league. They're huge. But they need to get away from that, and they need to start giving spotlight to these smaller teams that have all this great talent on it. And because the league does not do that, you're having a great superstar in Anthony Edwards being really just kind of shoved underneath the table because they still want to promote a 40-year-old LeBron James. And I think that's really the biggest problem with this league, is that they don't promote, they're not smart in who they promote. They don't really, and they're refusing to move on from, you know, the great generation that they had, and they're just not trailblazing a new path for these guys. And if they keep on doing this, it's gonna the ratings are gonna keep on going down. They need to make these young guys the face of the league. They need to move on.
I do think there's a bit of an obsession, like a media obsession with TV ratings, and I think it's a little dire and a little ominous that the NBA is about to go under in 5 seasons, which is just not true. Like they just signed a $76 billion TV rights deal with like ESPN, ABC, NBC, and like Amazon Prime. And so I think the NBA is fine from a money standpoint. The players are going to be making more than ever. I think that's fine. I think, but there are really two reasons why, personally, why I think the NBA viewership is down. The first one is that all the teams basically play the same way. And that way is how the Celtics play, where it's all three pointers. The three pointer has become less valuable than the two pointer just because of how many threes are taken. I remember I was watching the Eastern Conference Finals last year with my mom, and there was maybe like a 15-minute period where it was pretty much only threes. And my mom was complaining about it because it's just not fun to watch a team just jack up threes all the time, especially when they're not going in. And then the second one, I think, is that it's increasingly difficult for fans to watch the games they want to watch. I mean, in order to watch, I think 75% of the NBA games, you have to have like five different streaming services, which is frankly ridiculous. And that's happened on all other sports league, and it's a problem that America as a sports entertainment industry or economy sort of has to work on, is that it needs to be able to package its product into one streaming service. And I think it's frustrating because it's just frustrating to not be able to watch a game you were really looking forward to. I'm a Knicks fan, but I'm also from Tennessee, so like I don't have access to most of the Knicks games unless they're on national broadcast. And then, I mean, and that's really my main complaint, just as a fan personally, is that I can't watch most of the games that I want to watch. And I think that's why TV ratings are down. I mean, you talk about the illegal streaming sites. I think they're at an all-time high just because NBA fans want to watch games, and when they can't watch games, they're just going to resort to illegal streaming sites, and that doesn't count for the TV ratings. So the TV ratings drop isn't as dramatic as the media makes it out to be, just because many fans are watching it through illegal streaming sites that don't count for the ratings.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you guys. And you talk about the big markets. The top five teams that have the most primetime games are the five biggest markets, with the Lakers, the Warriors, the Celtics, the Knicks, and Dallas. All of them are in the top five in terms of primetime games, like ESPN, Inside the NBA, NBA TV, etc. And then the three-point thing was my biggest issue. I believe it was the Celtics and the Bulls. They shot 108 threes.
Oh my
And
God.
although the Celtics they've shifted their entire offense on shooting threes, there's no reason why the Chicago Bulls should be shooting 50 plus threes a game. They really don't have, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, they really don't have any efficient high volume three-point shooter on that team
It
that.
goes Zach LaVine, that's it. And it's Coby White, that's it too.
I guess really, yeah, maybe Coby White, but even then, there's really no excuse why a team, even the Boston Celtics, shouldn't really be shooting 53s a game, because you're playing the Bulls. You really should be dominating them by the end of the third quarter at best. But my biggest thing was definitely the 3-point percentage. And you talk about accessing the games. It's like you need League Pass, and then if you want to watch a certain game, you need this extra NBA TV or subscription or whatever just to see a random game that I want to watch. But, and also, you talk about the marketing the big teams. Like, I agree with you. They need to market these small teams because we have Anthony Edwards in Minnesota that we don't really hear about. And then you have OKC, who's probably one of the youngest contenders in a long time to actually have a chance at winning the championship. And they're first in the West, and we're not even hearing about them. We're still talking about the 10 seed Golden State Warriors or the disappointment that is the Los Angeles Lakers. At least the Knicks are good. If you're going to talk about the Knicks, at least they're good this year. The Lakers and the Warriors are by no stretch of the imagination a good team or should really even be in the playoffs. But I ho really hope that the NBA will hopefully solve this view these many viewership problems, whether it's maybe limiting the amount of three pointers, maybe increasing it so defenses have more of an advantage because now it's a technical foul where the other team will shoot a free throw if it's a 3 second violation and they maintain possession of the ball. But the NBA just has a lot of work to do. But before we wrap it up, there's only about 7 minutes left. Let's do our All-Star picks because I know we're wrapping up kind of the voting season for All-Star weekend. So we can go in order. We'll do Thomas, Trey, and then myself. We'll start with the East. We'll just say our starting five for each conference, and then we'll wrap up the show. So, Thomas, do you
Okay,
want to?
so for my East front court, I think these are all locks. I've got Giannis, Tatum, and Kat. I think they're all just phenomenal and just heads and shoulders above everyone else. And then in the for my guards, I'm sort of a toss up, but I've gone with Trae Young and Donovan Mitchell. I think you have to have a Cav in the starting lineup just because of how good they've been this season. And I think Donovan Mitchell's been the best player on the best team. So I think he has to be in there.
All right, my East. One of my picks can be really biased here, so but I got Giannis, Tatum, and then I got RJ Barrett in as the last one because I love RJ. But
Don't knock it, that's
my
fair.
favorite Raptor of the season, can't stand Scotty right now. But for my guards, I agree with Thomas on Donovan Mitchell, best team in the East. You gotta have them in there. Best record in the East. Now if there was in it, if there weren't injuries, I would put LaMelo Ball in as the second guard, but I'm gonna put Jalen Brunson in right now as the other starting guard for the East because he's been playing phenomenal season still.
Yeah, for me, I have the same guards. I have Jalen Brunson and I have Donovan Mitchell. I can't put Trae Young in there just because of seeding, and it would feel weird to put a low seed as a starter. And I have the same front court as you, Thomas. I have Kat, Giannis, and Tatum as my East front court. And now we'll do West. Who you got?
Okay, for the West, I've got Jokic, AD, and then LeBron. I'm between LeBron and Wemby. I think if Wemby keeps playing at sort of the level he's playing at these past couple of weeks, I think he overtakes LeBron. But LeBron's just doing insane things at 4 years old. Happy birthday, LeBron! But he's just going crazy. And I mean, it's just and obviously fan voting. Everyone loves LeBron. NBA markets LeBron as Trey mentioned. So I think LeBron gets in. And then for my guards, Shai's a lock, best player on the best team. And then for the other one, I think Luka deserves it, but I think ultimately I think Curry's going to get it. The game's in San Francisco. Curry's heavily marketed. I think it's going to be Stephen Curry. So Luka deserves it, but I think it's going to be Curry.
All right, I got for my front court, I got Jokic, best player in the world, Kevin Durant, and then I have Wembanyama in there because he's just impressed me so much. Best defender on the planet right now. So he's got to be in there. And guards, I got Shai and I got Luka. I think both of them are pretty undebatable that they should be there. But your point with Steph and the fact that the game's in San Francisco, that has a big impact on it as well. I mean, that's why Tyrese Haliburton got starting guard in Indiana last year. So I think that's a pretty big deal. But yeah, those are my five. I think those are not outrageous takes either.
And then for me, obviously Jokic is the lock for me. And I was torn between KD, Wemby, and AD, but I feel like seeding should have a really big impact on where the teams are. So for me, I have a KD. And then if I had to choose, like if you forced me to choose right now, I'd probably have to take Wemby over AD just because one, I think Wemby is a better player. And two, I think the Spurs are a higher seed, right? I really hope they are because it might take. Oh,
They're
no.
one game. They might be one game behind, or they might be one game
No, game
above.
and a half behind.
Yeah,
But I don't think
they're
that's a
one and
big
a half
deal for
behind.
me. Like, if I had the first pick in a draft, I'm choosing Wemby over AD 9 times out of 10. But, and I had to put KD in there. Although, because of like seeding options, like they are the 11th seed out of the play-in. I just think KD has been too good right now that, like, you can't leave him out. Like, it feels weird to leave AD out, but for me, I would take KD over AD, which might be a little bit of a hot take, but KD, in my opinion, is still the greatest one-on-one player of all time. in my opinion. So I had to put KD in there. I really can't leave him out. And then for the guards,
Fair.
I'm going to exclude Curry from this just because he's an automatic lock. If I had to choose a guard, I'm putting Anthony Edwards. Can we put Anthony Edwards in the guards?
I
Because
think
if
I think
he
it makes sense.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
because
I
think
think
about
he's been
it,
a bit worse this season, but I totally there's still totally an argument for him.
because like Curry, if I had to exclude Curry and Luka, like because obviously Curry's going to start and then Luka injured. If I had to choose somebody, it'd probably be Anthony Edwards. I just think Curry has struggled a little bit this year, and then obviously SGA is a lock, no question. Second best player in the
Yeah.
world, just behind Jokic, obviously. But with all of that, that is going to wrap up the first ever episode of Pick and Pod for 2025. Wishing all of you guys at home a happy new year. You can listen to Pick and Pod wherever you get your podcast. Bobby Chaffardini is our sports director. Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports.